Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum's podcast. We're presented today by our friends at Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. We are so grateful to have them as partners here along on this ride with Sports Spectrum. And the work that they do is second to none, releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. Check them out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum. And you can see a list of children there and sponsor a child yourself. Bring a child into your family that you can release from poverty. Your tax-deductible contribution each month connects a child living in poverty with a loving, church-driven child sponsorship program, all done in Jesus' name. Check it out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum and pray about the opportunity for you to sponsor a child in Jesus' name.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. So glad that you're tuned into our program today. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. I highly recommend you visit the website every day, Monday through Friday, for those devotionals that come out early in the morning, a great way to stay in touch with the Lord each day is our devotionals. You can also find our podcast, our entire Sports Spectrum podcast network of shows. 5 shows right now. All of the content, all of the podcasts are available at the website to listen to for free. And then, of course, articles, testimonials, stories, each and every day updated daily. You can find those as well at sportsspectrum.com. It's all free and it's all available at our website, sportsspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, we are excited to welcome Jacob Slavin to the podcast from the Carolina Hurricanes. Before we get to our conversation with Jacob, though, because it's Jacob Slavin, we were talking and I thought this would be a really great podcast to give away something to you, the listener. We haven't done a lot of giveaways on this podcast in a while. Maybe we'll do more. But I thought with our new Sports Spectrum magazine out right now, that would be perfect to give away. So we want to give away a Sports Spectrum magazine subscription. Hopefully you'll buy one as well because it's really affordable. It's just $18 for a one-year subscription. But we want to give away one to you right now on Sports Spectrum. So here's how you can do it. Simply email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, and just let me know that you want to win a free subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. So email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, and we will put all of the, you know, people who email me into sort of a random drawing, and then we'll pick out one winner who will get a free subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine for 1 year. So you can do that right now. Email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, and we're going to give away a free Sports Spectrum magazine subscription in conjunction with this really great conversation that I think you're going to enjoy listening to right now with Jacob Slavin, with the Carolina Hurricanes in the NHL. He was an all-star in 2020. He's a defenseman, signed a 7-year contract extension back in July of 2017. The Hurricanes have one heck of a player going for them every single night on the ice in Jacob Slavin, and he's one of the best dudes you will ever talk to. He was on this podcast 5 years ago. One of the first 10 interviews that we did on this podcast, one of them was with Jacob Slavin. Here we are, 5 years later, catching up with him. Last year, he had a career high in points, his best year, if you will, 38 assists, 42 points, plays that defenseman position just perfectly. He's a really great player, a steady, calming presence, and a veteran who is a great leader in the locker room and a man who loves Jesus. Wait till you hear him talk about how much he loves the Lord. I loved talking to Jacob Slavin and catching up with him. Let's get to our conversation right now with the Carolina Hurricanes defenseman, Jacob Slavin, on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Jacob Slavin, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, actually. You were here early in the Sports Spectrum realm, about, I think, episode 5 or 6, but it's great to have you back here in 2022. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, it's definitely been a while, and yeah. Lots of years have gone by, and lots of changes have happened, so No, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. It's a lot has changed for you, certainly, and evolved over your not only your career, but your personal life and your family as well. And I love your story of fatherhood. You adopted a child in 2019. I thought it'd be a great place to start would be that, because that wasn't a story that you were able to share with us in 2017 when you were on the podcast. And this summer, you became a two-time dad with baby Charlie, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. No, yeah. 2017, you asked me if we were going to adopt a child. I probably would have said, yeah, maybe later down the line. And actually, probably shortly after our conversation, my wife, we had gone to a fundraiser event, and my wife just really had it on her heart with adoption. She always has. But we're on our way home from that event, and Kylie's like, yeah, I want to adopt a 6-year-old boy. I was like, okay, hold on, pump your brakes. I thought, like, just from talks that we've had, I thought we were maybe having biological kid first. Like, I was never against adoption. We just didn't necessarily know the timing of everything and what that looked like. And then so we had that conversation, and then the Lord, for the next year, probably up until 2018 when we started the process, really worked on my heart. And I got to the point where I was just like, okay, like, if this is what God has for us, let's do it. And told my wife, and I think the next day she had us booked up for introductory meeting with adoption agency here in North Carolina. And then almost the year to the date from when we went to that first meeting is when Emerson came into our lives. And so super special, and just, yeah, it's really, really special. And Emerson's the best.
Didn't all that come during the Stanley Cup playoffs, like all at the same time?
Yeah. So Emerson was born. I think her birthday is April 12th. We played game one against Washington on April 11th.
Oh.
And then so flew to Charlotte, which is where her birth mom's from. So it's close to Raleigh, which is great. We get to have a great open relationship with her. But then April, yeah, game happens April 11th. We go to getting ready to go to the practice on April 12th in DC, and Kylie calls saying, hey, baby's being born today, get down to Charlotte. And so hopped on a plane. Actually, our owner was flying back to Dallas that day, and he had told him what was going on. He's like, oh yeah, sure, hop on the plane, we'll drop you off in Charlotte real quick. And so
Nice.
he made a nice little pit stop for me, which helped out so much. And then get to the hospital, baby's born, Emerson's born. And then the next morning, April 13th, I fly back to DC for a 3 o'clock game, back with the team to Raleigh. And then I have our team chaplain drive me down from Raleigh to Charlotte to discharge from the hospital on Sunday, and game three on Monday. So it was a crazy couple of days, but it was a blast. And it was just all so sweet and surreal.
Yeah, there's something about my brother adopted a baby girl a few years back. I think the same year, 2018, 2019 range that you did. And I saw he already had four kids. They were all grown and in their teens and even into their early, 20s. And along comes this new baby girl. And obviously, my brother loves all of his kids equally, but there's something unique and different when you talk about adoption, because I think there's such a parallel with the gospel. What did adopting a child for you do to you and your relationship with Jesus, and just seeing how adoption works within the realm of who we are to God and to, to Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely plays a good parallel there. I think the whole process was really cool. Just God stretching Kylie and I's hearts initially, and we kind of just got into the process, and we're just like, all right, Lord, whatever you have for us. Like, I think the only preference we put down, because you can mark up your preferences, be as specific as you want of what child you want or whatever. And we just kind of said, we want a newborn or anything from any child from 0 to 12 months. And so outside of that, we kind of just left it in the Lord's hand to see what he was going to give us. And then obviously Emerson comes into our life, and so it was amazing. But in parallel to the gospel itself, it's a beautiful picture. And like you said, now that we have a biological child, like, it's not like we love one Emerson more than we do Charlie. Like, it's just unconditional love towards Emerson, unconditional love towards Charlie. And then you think about how God loves us unconditionally, and that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and now we're adopted as his sons and daughters. And and then you throw in the aspect that God's a holy and perfect God, where we're sinners loving another sinner, but he's a holy God loving us and adopting us when he didn't have to. And so it's such a cool picture, just to really just show how much God loves us.
And then Charlie comes along just a couple months back. What's that been like going from one to two? And certainly the even going from having a little girl to a little boy, like what's the difference, in adding a second child here with Charlie?
It's been awesome. Honestly, God's timing and it was perfect. I wanted to try to have a summer baby, and it worked out perfectly to where I've been able to be home for the past 2 months, and which has been awesome. I've been able to help Kylie out a lot. I think she might be a little nervous for what season looks like once I start going on the road and stuff, because we've kind of been in a fairy tale right now with us both being home all the time. So it's been nice. But
Yeah.
I mean, the transition itself has been super smooth. Emerson's been a rock star with being a bigger sister. From the time she was a year and a half old, she was always carrying around a baby doll. And then for the 9 months leading up to Charlie being born and us saying, "Hey, you're gonna be a big sister. Hey, you're gonna be a big sister." I don't think that girl walked anywhere without a baby doll. And I think there's a picture, might have been 4th of July. She has this little baby stroller. She had four babies in the stroller and then one attached to her. And so she was logging around five babies, and she's just always been so excited to be a big sister, and she's always loved just taking care of her pretend little baby dolls. And so now that the real thing's here, she wants to help with everything. She doesn't want to change any poopy diapers, so that's okay. But
We'll get
she
there.
loves one exactly. She wants to feed him, she wants to help burp him, she wants to hold him, whatever it is. And so you tell how much she loves him. And from a transition phase for her, it's been good. Obviously, there's the hardships that come with going from the only child to being now a child of two and time divided, but she's been awesome. And so a lot of change happened in her life. She got a baby brother, started school all around the same time. And so it's been a whirlwind for her, but she's been great. And so she's thriving. And then Kylie's been awesome. Everything's been super easy for the most part for her transitioning, and recovery's gone great. Feeding's been awesome, and so she's been a rock star.
Jacob Slavin's our guest here on Sports Spectrum with the Carolina Hurricanes. The season's about to begin in a few weeks as we run this interview. I mean, I can't believe, by the way, that it's year eight for you. When I was looking at it, I'm like, there's no way he's played seven seasons, but here we are in year eight. What are you most excited about? What has you most excited about this team and for you personally, maybe entering into year eight?
Yeah, it's crazy. 8 years already. It's flown by, and yeah, it feels like just the other day we were playing by, I think about it in like contract way, right? And so it felt like just the other day I was signing a 7 year extension. Now I only got 3 years left on that thing, and so it's flying by. But no, I'm super excited for this year. Obviously, after last season, we had an ending that was we you felt would a little be a little premature just with the team that we had, and so. That was definitely a bummer, but this off season's been great. I'm super excited for some of our additions. I mean, hopefully, the way it looks like I'm going to be playing with Burns, and so that should be awesome. Excited for the player that he is, and so it's just an exciting year with new faces. Obviously, that happens every year, but just the new faces we got this year. Super excited for build relationships with them, and a couple of them have been coming to church already with me, and so that's been really cool. And so yeah, just excited for the year and what the Lord has in it on and off the ice.
Yeah, go into that side, what you just said. I mean, obviously you're a hockey player, but you're also a follower of Christ who has been commanded to go out into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And that looks different, I think, for a lot of people, especially in their roles and their vocation. How has that evolved for you in seeing your work as an opportunity to, be an ambassador, I guess, for Christ?
Yeah, I think I always knew before I came into the league that this is where God has me, and this is the platform he's given me. These are the abilities he's given me, and so I want to use those first and foremost for his glory. But then as like you said, going into year eight, I think it's been cool to see just how much he's been able to use the platform that he's given me. And it's been cool, the conversations that I've had over the years, whether that's with teammates or with fans or people in the community. I mean, back in 2012 when I got drafted by the Canes, I would have never thought like, ooh, Raleigh, like that's the spot for us. Like I hardly knew anything about the Carolina Hurricanes, and then up until I signed with them, I was just like, why Raleigh? And now you look back over those 8 years and you just see God's sovereignty and his hand in all of it, and us being out in Raleigh, and just the way, one, the community's impacted our lives with the churches we've been to and friends we've made, and how that's impacted our Kylie and I's relationship with the Lord for the better. And then just to see how we've been able to connect into the community and just truly find just a family out here away from our families back home has been unbelievable. And so, yeah, as hockey is what I do, it's not who I am. It's an awesome job, but I think the great part of it is just all the, I think, for lack of a better word, connections that I'm able to make to be able to go and spread the good news. And so it's been really special, and continuing to realize more and more why God has me where I am, and just continuing to try to pray for boldness more and more through the years and as I get older. And so, yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah. What's been the biggest growth for you, do you think, as a believer since you came into the league? I think it was 2015 when you made your debut. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest growth that you think you've seen the Lord do in you as a hockey player?
As a hockey player. Honestly, I think one of the biggest things is confidence. I mean, coming into the league, you're young, you want to obviously try to impress people. But I remember even my first year playing my first preseason game ever. I may have shared this story with you the last time we talked.
It's okay, it's been 5 years. We can share it again.
exactly, yeah. So the Lord, I was playing first preseason game against the Penguins, and I was nervous as heck. And I take my pregame nap, wake up from it, still really nervous. And the Pens post their lineup for the night: Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Kessel, Fleury, like all their all-stars, right? And I'm thinking, oh dear, here we go. But then I did those things where you open up your Bible and you just kind of find a verse. And the Lord brought me to Galatians, and I was reading Galatians 1, and I came down to verse 1:10, where it says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And that kind of, that's really been my verse throughout my whole career now is what am I here for? Am I here to impress people, management, players, coaches, whatever it is, or am I just here to be God, Christ's servant? And so I think in that, just being able to grow in confidence, why I'm out there, how I play the game is, again, it's not to impress anybody, but it's just to go out there and do the work the Lord's called me to do, which is play hockey to his glory. And so obviously, and that comes sharing the gospel. And like I said, just before, praying for more boldness, because sometimes, like early on, I could have been a little shy to share like things with people or whatever. But now I just, it's coming more naturally to just start those conversations. You never know who's wanting to hear it and, or who's needing to hear it. And so just extending that olive branch of making sure those conversations happen.
Yeah, and I think as you grow as a hockey player and you become more established, for lack of a better word, you're a veteran now, which is weird, right? You're only, mm-hmm. you're only 28 years old, but you're a veteran who's been around the game for 7, 8 years. With that becomes I think maybe people might listen to you a little bit more, you know, or at least mm-hmm. be open to hearing, okay, this guy's been in the league for a long time. If he wants to share what's worked for him, I'll listen. Yeah. And that must be something that maybe has changed, I guess, since you were like, you know, first or second year, where you're just trying to find your place.
Yeah, I think definitely with more games under your belt and I guess more status, right? Then sure. you can kind of, it comes with a little bit more weight of what you say, or what you say comes with a little bit more weight. And so, yeah, that aspect definitely plays into it as well.
Galatians 1:10, you mentioned that's on your Instagram page, I think. Is that a verse you still go to before every game, or is that just something that you remember from them? I mean, obviously we want to read the entire Bible or read, you know, more than just one verse, but is that a verse that consistently comes back to you every time when you're going there out there in the ice?
Yeah, I think that's kind of, like I said, that's kind of been my verse through the whole career. And I think with the heart of the verse, I don't know why it would change. Like I always want to make sure I'm out there just serving Christ and not trying to impress people, you know? And so I think if my heart's in the right spot, whether I play well or play bad, if my heart's in the right spot to just go out there and use the abilities God's given me for his glory and just to serve him, then he's gonna approve, you know, because, well, one, he's already approved of me, but two, he wants my heart in the right spot. And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely other verses, but that's the one that always is, and I guess you could say kind of the foundation of why I do what I do.
Now, I'm careful how I say this, but does that help you become a better hockey player on the ice? Obviously, if God, if you were saying, okay, God's going to give me everything I desire, you would have won, eight straight Stanley Cup championships, the last few years. And obviously that hasn't happened, but has that helped you become a better hockey player by having that mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the word that comes with that verse is confidence, but it's not confidence in yourself, right? It's confidence in who God made you to be and who you are in Christ. And so I know God loves me. I know God's approved of me, and I know I'm his servant. And so if I can go out there in freedom to play the game with the abilities that he's given me to play it in. So I can go out there in confidence again, knowing that whether I suck or I have the best game of my career, it doesn't matter to him. He wants my heart in the right spot, and he wants me just to serve him and to glorify him. And so with that comes confidence, knowing that it's not dependent on what I do.
Long hockey season, many months, many games, many bruises and bumps. What's discipleship look like for you in the midst of a long season? Staying connected to God. What does that look like for you, here going into year eight?
So it's changed. I think even year to year, it's changed. We have an awesome chaplain here, with the Canes. His name's Sid, and he's awesome. And him and his wife have kind of become like my wife's and I, North Carolina parents, if you will. So super close with him, and he'll do the chapels for us throughout the year. There's been years where I've been on FCA huddle calls, over the years, and then actually this year, I think we're going to try to start a players led NHL Zoom call, maybe twice a month or every other week,
Like a Bible
throughout
study.
the year. Yeah, exactly, like a Bible study, and just try to have some community amongst the players through the league. Obviously, the PAO conference happened, and there, I feel like there's more and more guys who are going there and accepting Christ, and so it's still few, but you could say the numbers are growing amongst believers in the league, and so. Just to have some sort of community amongst ourselves is what we're trying to create. And so I think we're going to do that Bible study this year, and watching sermons from church that I miss or whatever, going when I can. Obviously, my wife's a huge support person for me when it comes to encouraging me in my faith, holding me accountable in my faith. See, she's amazing in that way, and she's so strong in her faith. So it's awesome to have her. And then just friends out here in Raleigh have been awesome as well, and just trying to stay connected with them.
Are you able to pop into a church service? I hate saying it like that, but during the season, is it hard to do that, or are you able to do that?
At home or on the road?
Well, I guess at home, obviously. When you're home and you have like a long homestand, do you try to find your rhythm of still going to church and still making sure that you're taking that priority with your family?
Yeah, if it's an off day on a Sunday, even if we played the night before, I know that it's needed and that I want to go, and so I'll definitely make it. Sunday, 5 o'clock games on a Sunday are tough because you're either napping or eating during that time, and so those days are tough. But yeah, no, if I'm able to, I'm definitely going. I know it's important, so I like to do it.
How early do you get to the rink before a game? If it's, let's just say it's a 5 o'clock game on a Sunday, what time do you like to kind of get into your mindset of being at the rink, and what rhythms and maybe disciplines do you have before the game starts?
Yeah, so we'll go with a 7 o'clock game because that's normal for
There you
most
go.
parts, right? And so we'll have a pregame skate in the morning, huge pregame meal, nap from 1:30 to 3:30, and then I'll get to there. We technically have to be at the rink by 5 for a 7 o'clock game, so I'll show up around 4:40, 4:45, just start getting in my routine. It's very loose. It's a very loose routine. Play soccer, and then I guess the only routine I have is just doing my stretch and my certain activation stuff that I do, but for the most part, very, very loose, very chill.
Jacob, you said 2 hour nap though. That has me so excited and fired up. Like a full 2 hour nap.
Oh yeah, my wife always laughs because like during the season, people will be talking and like trying to schedule stuff with her and Emerson or whatever, and she's like, "Yeah, well, Jacob and Emmy are going to go down for their nap at 1:30," and they're like, "Wait, both of them?" And she's like, "Yeah, like that's a normal thing." And so, yeah, no, try to get 2 hours in every game day if I can.
Have you missed the nap where you're like, oh, this is going to throw me
I've had
off?
I've had shorter naps before, but I don't know if I've ever missed a nap. And then obviously, like 1 o'clock games, different routine. So it just depends on the time of the game. But if we're doing a standard 7 o'clock game, yeah, no, I don't know if I've missed a nap.
Where'd you get that from? Is that teammates who do the same thing? Is that a consistent
Honestly,
thing for
that's
players?
a very consistent thing. Some guys don't nap, some guys just lay there and watch a movie. I couldn't do that. I'd be more tired when I got done. Some guys only nap for 30, 45 minutes. Some guys, a couple, we got a guy on our team who naps over 2 hours every time. So just depends. But yeah, no, I've always been a napper ever since juniors, I think. And once you start having pregame skate and then there's that time and before the game, a nap is great. And then you play so late. If I didn't nap, I'd be falling asleep on the bench, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even remotely comparable, but when I was at ESPN, I worked on Mike and Mike in the Morning my last year. It was the last year of the show. So I would get up at 3:30, 4 in the morning to go into work. And I'd get done by noon and I would come home and I would take like an hour nap every day. And it helped me stay awake at night with my wife and with my daughter at the time. And now I miss those naps. Let's just put it that way.
Oh,
There was something pretty awesome about taking a nap in the middle of the day.
yeah. No, it's honestly, it's hard because during the summertime, I don't nap much because if I did, I wouldn't sleep as well at nighttime just because I'm
Right.
not exerting a ton of energy between 7 and 9 o'clock. But then once we get back into season, I remember last year thinking that our first preseason game of the year, and I had to try to take a 2 hour nap. I was struggling to fall asleep. But then once you get like a couple games into the year, you're like, yep, I'm ready for it.
Your body's telling you time to rest, Jacob, time to
Yes,
rest.
exactly.
As we wind down, I do want to ask you about Compassion International. I'm wearing the hat here to team up with Compassion. They're a great partner with us here at Sports Spectrum, and I remembered your involvement with the Fill the Stadium initiative, which was just awesome to see so many people come together during COVID to try and help get these, kids who were going to be left without sponsorships an opportunity to have a chance, right, during the midst of a really terrible time. But why Compassion? Why was that something that you felt in your heart, hey, me and my wife, we want to get involved with this.
Yeah, I think growing up, we always sponsored kids, whether that was through World Vision or Compassion, and so we always had those sponsorships of the kids that we did ourselves. So I think in the first year, my wife and I got married, we started sponsoring kids, and then actually, I think we started with World Vision, but then we met some people from Compassion, and Andy Russell is his name. But he really got us connected with Compassion, and then we started sponsoring this little girl named Wendy. And I think the first summer that we were sponsoring her, I was actually able to FaceTime with her because he had gone on a mission trip down there, I think in Guatemala, and so got to just have some interaction with her, which was really cool, and hadn't done that before. But then Fill the Stadium initiative comes along, and obviously Compassion's mission is just awesome in and of itself, and. Then, like you said, the impact that Fill the Stadium had has been so cool. And so just the mission and the mindset that they have is great, but then also just their urgency to kind of get professional athletes involved in helping and being able to make a difference has been really cool, and just another pathway for us to be able to use our platform to hopefully get more people involved has been such a cool thing that Compassion has done, and that we've Kylie and I have loved being a part of the Compassion family now, and just being able to partner along with them, like you said, and just being able to help that mission.
Yeah, releasing kids from poverty. The website is compassion.com/sportspectrum if anybody wants to go check it out, and they can sponsor a child right there. There's a list of children waiting to be released from poverty. So good stuff there, Jacob. Glad that you are involved with them. My last question for you, when you think about where God has you, I think I might have asked this 5 years ago too. I'm sure the answer has changed. But where you are right now, 28 years old, dad of two, husband, hockey player, what do you think is the great lesson that the Lord is showing you and teaching you right now, in the season of life that you're in?
Yeah, one of the coolest things, and this might be going back a year or two, but well, through COVID, my wife and I, we tried to read through the Bible in a year together, and just one of the things that kept sticking out to me was just how beautiful of a God is, like just how he has his hand in everything, and just how faithful he is through so many different seasons of life, whatever it is. And so thinking about the season of life I'm in right now, and just so thankful for his faithfulness, even when we are not faithful to him. That's been so cool just to kind of ponder on and just and have rest in just his faithfulness and how patient and good of a God he is and how much he loves us. And so that's been something that's really cool. And then the Bible study I've been a part of this summer, we've just been going through the book of Philippians very slowly, like very slowly. I'm talking, we were in Philippians 2 for 6 weeks. And so it's been, but it's just been really cool. And just to see how different guys pick out different things within the chapter, within the verses. Paul talks about in Philippians 3, just like running the right race that God has set before us, for the prize of the upward call. And so, and just where God has me right now, just being faithful to where he has me. And just striving every day to one, live for his glory, coming back to Galatians 1:10, but two, just to do it with love, and humility, and whether that's serving my wife well, serving my children well, serving the community well, serving my teammates well, whatever it is, just doing it with love and humility, and ultimately for his glory.
Yeah, that's good. Real quick, you said you read through the Bible in a year with your wife or tried to. How do you guys do that? I'm actually doing that right now with a thing called the Bible Recap that somebody wrote. A woman named Tara Lee Cobble wrote this book that helps sort of as a companion to you reading through the Bible in a year. I was just curious what that looked like for you. Was it just a reading through it on its own, or did you have a companion to kind of help you along?
There was a reading plan that my wife had found. And it was kind of trying to be in as chronological order as best as it could. And so we were reading a little bit of the Old Testament, like, and then the Psalm, and then part of the New Testament every day. And then it was 5 days a week, and then Saturday and Sunday, it was kind of like a meditation day or whatever, or I guess you could call it a rest day. But so it was just 5 days a week, and then through the Bible in a year.
Nice. Yeah, it's really good. I did that a few years back too. It's really hard. And I sometimes like to be in a Philippians for 6 months, and sometimes I want to read through the Bible and get some other, some other areas of it into my soul to just see what else the Lord might speak through. So I think there's no wrong way,
Oh,
in your time
as
with
long as
God.
you're spending time with God, I think that's the most important part. Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers can be some hard books to get through, but even in those books, you can find God's beauty in it and just how he provided a way for people to still have interaction with him and still have closeness with him just through the sacrifices and offerings. And so it's just but yeah, so he's obviously he's got his hand in the whole Bible and in all of our lives. And so it's been really cool.
I just finished Ezekiel. I'm still in the Old Testament. I've been in the Old Testament for almost 9 months. I'm finally getting to the New Testament in October. October 1st, we're going to finally get there. And I'm excited because I've been through the Gospels obviously before, but I loved going through the Old Testament, but I'm kind of ready for Jesus. You know what I mean? Ezekiel's hard, by the way. You want to see the wrath of God at work? Read the first 30, I think it's 33 chapters of Ezekiel, and you're like, whoa, okay. Yeah, God's a God of
No.
wrath just as much as he is a God of love. So,
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No, some of those Old Testament books that you, until you actually read them, like when I was younger and I tried to read them, I had no idea what was going on. But this last time through, it's been easier. But yeah, just love and justice and wrath and peace and forgiveness, it all flows and it all points to Jesus. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jacob Slavin, best wishes on another season number 8 for you with Carolina, and thanks for coming back on the show. We'll have to do it a little more closer to the mark next time than wait 5 more years to have you back on. But thanks for doing this, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate being on.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
And many thanks to Jacob Slavin for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. Like I said, just an awesome, awesome guy and a really good hockey player. And if you're looking for one guy to root for this year in the NHL, Jacob Slavin's that guy. And there's lots of guys. We're going to have some more hockey players on in the next few weeks. You can root for them all. But remember that guy, Jacob Slavin, with the Carolina Hurricanes. That is one guy that you can follow all year long and know that he's trying to do it the right way, to honor God and not please man, if you will, that Galatians 1:10 Bible verse that he mentioned multiple times. I love that conversation and really appreciate Jacob for being here today on Sports Spectrum. I mentioned at the top of this podcast that we were giving away a free subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. If you simply email me, I'm going to mention it again. Email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. If you email me, you will be entered into a drawing, a random drawing, and you could win a free one-year subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. All you got to do is email me and say, I want in, Jason, on this magazine subscription. It's $18. Hopefully you'll consider buying one for someone as well. We try to keep it affordable, but we want to give back. We want to give away a subscription so that hopefully the person that wins this can really see what I think is the best thing we do here at Sports Spectrum with our Sports Spectrum magazine. It's been a staple within the ministry for over 35 years, and it's still going strong. We believe it's the best resource that we have that we can make available to you is the Sports Spectrum magazine. Again, email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, to get your submission in, and we'll make a random drawing, and we will contact you if you are the winner. Thank you again for tuning into the show today. We love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Stay connected with us at our website, sportsspectrum.com, and then make sure you check out all of our social media pages as well. And we will see you next time right here on the show. Have a great rest of your day.